Now, come on, we got to have a little quiet here. I've got a special thing where I'll tell a testimony first. Then Donna can do a couple of announcements while I'm trying to do make something technical work that may or may not work. Hopefully it will. Y'all remember about 3 weeks ago, maybe four, I don't remember exactly, but the Lord spoke to me and said, we need to help Dick Rubin. If you remember him, he was a teacher. He was teaching about the tabernacle. He was doing a teaching when they believe he was instrumental in releasing God's presence in Brownsville Assembly before the revival started. He's a Jewish man. I reckon when shofars were being blown all over the country, it was because Dick Rubin blew the shofar at Brownsville and it was a sound heard around the world. Well, anyway, it just felt he's had a lot of troubles lately. He's not been able to work a job like a lot of us have and have a retirement and have a future. And so God spoke to me and said, as a church, we need to support Dick Rubin. And $100 a month. And Donna said, we will do that for a year if the church goes along with it. And everybody was 100%, let's help the man of God. So Ben got up three Sundays ago, I think, and he gave a testimony. And it was something like this. I'll try to make it short. But he said, when he was a little boy, about 5 or 6 years old, him and Troy, another boy in youth group, they used to go to this little store in New Albany, and they used to steal food and drinks. And the reason they did is because they were hungry. And so they came to the Lord sometime later. I don't know what their age was, but the Lord convicted them that that was wrong, and they needed to make restitution. How many of y'all know a lot of people forgot about restitution? But the Holy Spirit hadn't. So we reminded them, they got $200 together, they went to the store to make restitution, and the store owner goes, oh, I knew y'all stealing, man, I knew you was hungry, so just forget it. So that testimony, that Sunday morning, Larry Gilpin was sitting here, I used to work with him, he rarely is able to come. But he heard that testimony, and I think he called me that afternoon and said, that convicted me. He said, back in 1980-something, he said, I got called into the office by my boss who said that we're going to guarantee your wages, which means we're going to take, which the phone company didn't go for that at all. They would, you better get it right. They'd fire you for that. So the boss took him down to First National Bank, I think it was, and they said, you didn't pay your last payment on this Volkswagen, so blah, blah, blah. He said, yes, I did, and you better get out. You know, I'm sure he went into very colorful, I'm sure he did at the time. So they said, okay, we'll just drop it. He said, but I knew that I didn't make that last payment. He said, I was lying. You know what the payment was on a new car? $99. But anyway, there was $100, you might as well say. He said, he talked to his sister at First National, what is it now, PNC or something. She said, it would cost us $500 to put that $100 back into the system. She said, go bless something the Lord tells you to. So he said, the reason I'm calling you is because I want to give you this $100. But he said, I want to be like Zacchaeus, and I'm going to pay back sevenfold. So he gave $700. Towards Dick Rubin is what he wanted it to go for. And then we was at Food Pantry, and somebody called me and said, when I told that testimony to them, they said, wow. I could tell they were excited. About 20 minutes later, they called me out in the hall and said, I've agreed with my husband that we need to give $500 to Dick Rubin. So what's 7 plus 5? 3 days. God. And as a church, y'all did that too. I'm not pointing out people. I'm just saying as a church, God was pleased with that. And I just want to thank y'all for obeying the Lord. And you know, if we will give to the Lord, and you know I'm not into name it and claim, I'm not into that at all because God's not into that at all. God blesses God blesses those who give, but he don't bless you so you can be greedy, you know? He loves a cheerful giver. You give with your lips stuck out and pouting, God could use that money. Just keep it. Keep it. Don't put a curse on yourself. But, boy, that's a... And we don't pass a plate, so that don't matter anyway. So, anyway, I wanted to tell you all that. Thank you for giving to the Lord. Yes, I do. You got testimony?
Well, first of all, as y'all know, most of y'all kind of know, I just got out of prison and into a halfway house and then transitioned to another house. And so I was just like, Lord Jesus, help me. My son was scared to come outside, living in downtown Louisville. He don't want to come outside and play and things like that. So I come across the house in Shively area. And I was like, well, Lord, if it's your will, I prayed about it. I said, Lord, if it's your will, you'll send me confirmation. You'll make a way out of no way for me to get this house. You'll just make it happen. You'll make it plain as day. And I prayed about it for a while. And then I talked to the guy, and he said that like 18 people had asked about the house. And he felt like it was meant for me. He put it on hold, took the for sale sign down, and waited on me. And didn't even answer no one else for a whole month. He just kept it on hold. And then I got this $800 tax check in the mail, and I was like, okay, Lord, you know I need a car, so what am I going to do? And then he wants $800 deposit, and he wanted $750 of first month's rent, too. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, how am I going to do this? How am I going to make it work? If it's your will, you'll make it work. And then I talked to the neighbors of the house, and come to find out they have a little boy that's 11 years old that struggles with a heart condition, the same age as my son that also struggles with a heart condition. And I was like, oh, if that ain't confirmation, Lord, I don't know what is, because he said he feels like he's rejected, feels different. He felt like he was alone with that struggle. And then Lord just gave that to me. I was like, oh, my goodness, thank you, Lord. You're just going to make a way. So he did. Actually, Don, that comes here from church, Wesley Chapel, where I shared my testimony at a month ago, they decided to help and donated $400 to half of the deposit to get the house. So we paid it, and we're moving in this week.
Praise God.
So it's just a miracle. Definitely a miracle.
Thank you,
Amen.
Hey, the reason I was sharing this with y'all is the power of a testimony. So the Bible says they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, if this doesn't convince you that we should be giving testimonies, and you all always do, but don't take it lightly like it just falls on dead ground. It never falls on dead ground if it's the word of God. So hold this, Donna. I got something I want to try to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Lord Jesus, we just pray, Lord, that weather will not affect the service on that phone. God, you've got a phone call you hear you want the church to hear, I believe, Lord. So we ask, God, you would make it go through, Lord, in Jesus' name. While he's getting that started, we've got Dead Zone here. Anybody else got a testimony, Ben?
I'm going to try to walk over here and put you on speaker, okay?
I can probably bring this over there.
Lose signal. All right, we're working on it.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
All right, crank it up there, brother. You're speaking to Faith Harvest Church. This is Dick Rubin.
Okay, you got your congregation there?
Yes, sir.
Well, I just want to tell you how precious you are in the sight of the Lord for the support of the saints. Not many people care about you anymore. When you pass off the scene, they don't think about you anymore. But you took the time to listen to God and think about us. We just wanted to call a congregation and tell you personally thank you so very much for your sacrifices. We thank Mark for being a man of God that hears from God. And we bless you in the name of Jesus. Yiva Dekakai Adonai, Yismerecha, Yael Adonai Panabelecha, Beasimecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you that peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua the Messiah, the great Shar Shalom. Amen and amen. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, congregation. We'll see you when we get on the other side. It seems, I just want to just give you a word of encouragement. There's so many people today that are going under the sifting of the devil. I had an angel appear to me not long ago, and he talks about that Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But when you are converted, I pray that your faith doesn't fail. And when you are converted, you're to reach your hand out and help the brethren. Comes out of Luke chapter 22. It says, and if you're going through a sifting and a shifting right now, it's because God is getting his church ready. He can't put up with sin. He can't put up with us living two lifestyles. We sin, we repent. We sin, we repent. We sin, we repent. We sin, we repent. God wants us to live in holiness and righteousness. Get your life straight. The little foxes, the little things you think don't make any difference, like being angry at someone, having unforgiveness. You don't have to be into the 10 major sins of the 10 commandments. Sin is sin. Sin is separation from God. And people are having these prayer meetings all across this country now. Every time you turn around, somebody's got another prayer vigil. Well, if you go back to Isaiah 59, Verse 1, it says, our sins have hidden the face of God from us, and he can't see us. Get your life right with the Lord. Don't be worried about what people think about you becoming some holy Joe. You are to be holy as he is holy. That's what the scripture says. Follow Mark. He's got his eye on God. Don't betray what God has given you in your hands. A faithful servant of God. We love you so much, Mark.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate it.
Did it come on?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, well, did it work out okay?
Excuse me.
Did it work out okay?
Yeah, it worked out. Everybody heard you, brother. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Stay in contact. We'll see you next time we get out of here.
Yes, sir. We love you.
Thank you, Mark.
Bye.
Hello.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You got a member of this. Yay. Woo!
That was.
Yeah! You know, Dick Rubin, one of his catch sayings, in fact, it was even on the Brownsville t-shirt. How many of y'all went there and had a t-shirt? I had t-shirts, but they're all worn out now. They're wax rags. I keep a couple of them just for memories, but he made a statement. He said, when the pattern is right, the glory will fall. And he talked about the pattern in the Old Testament. He talked about the pattern where God set up the tabernacle as a pattern of things to come. He set up the tabernacle as a pattern. And I just thought about when the pattern is right, the glory will fall. How many of y'all believe that? When we get everything, when God lines everything up, God's presence and revival fire will fall. Now, it's sovereign. Only God can send revival. We can't click it around a Rubik's Cube like we was talking about. When you get them all in order, then revival falls. That's not. But unless we're in order, because God wants to use his church to spread revival, he wants people that can be faithful, people that will do what they need to do even when they don't feel like doing it. Does that make sense? And that's interesting because you think, whoa, when the glory comes into the house of God, then we'll be so invigorated and we'll never be tired and we'll never not want to be in church. That's not true. I talked to people at Brownsville that they said, man, I'm just weary and I'm tired and I'm. And we went there, Don and I, we met some people there. You'd see people and know who they are, but we actually They gave us a camper to stay in one visit down there where we didn't even have to pay for a motel room on the ocean. So it was neat meeting people like that. But I remember we was up there, rah, 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 rah. We was worshiping God. We was going after God. We'd run to the altar. Always run to the altar first to get, you know, get that hidden sin out. Get anything out of your life so you can receive, right? Repentance, revival. So we get in line for prayer. I'd say, pray for me. Pray for me. I chase them all over the church. Pray for me. And I get everybody I could to pray for me. Now, y'all might think it's carnal and weird. No, it's hunger. It's hunger. It's hunger. And so I get prayer, prayer, prayer. And this guy come up to me. And I mean, the guy let us stay in his camper. And he says, man, he said, I need that hunger back. And he worked, you know, he worked on not the prayer team, but the tape ministry, soundboard. He said, I can't believe I've let myself get so complacent. He said, God's fire is here, and I'm not even enjoying it, you know. And it was a wake-up call for him, and I'm thinking, how could, you know, but I could see how it could get worrisome because we got to work, we got life. So just be ready for what God's getting ready to do. But when the pattern's right, the glory will fall. And I just wrote down a couple things here. When the pattern is right, a soul will be restored. When the pattern is right, salvation will come. When the pattern is right, the family will be strong. When the pattern is right, the church will be victorious. When the pattern is right, a nation will be blessed. God wants to bless America again.
Yes, he does.
Praise God. He's still blessing her, but whoo! I want to see his blessings of revival and blessings of restoration of governments and blessings of... He's got a plan for us, and it's not over. And I heard a very encouraging word the other day, and it said, God is still blessing us. God is still bringing in the harvest and crops because we sent missionaries all over the world. God is still blessing that effort. So praise God. Let's see a fresh wave of what God wants to do. But I wanted to... I asked Kristen if she would read 3 or 4 pages here out of a... You ever been read a book and read a little bit of it and said, I'm just not interested? I picked this up the other day. Just read 4 pages in Jesus' name. 4 pages, yeah. I believe that's it. Yeah, I think that's it. Y'all listen. Just kind of close your eyes and pull into this. Yes. This happened at Los Angeles, California, at a little place called Azusa Street, a barn. This is just a piece of it. I thought it was interesting. And
check. Is it on? Check. There we go. Everything about the Azusa Street Mission fascinated me, especially the prayer or tarrying room on the second floor. Usually 100 or more black, brown, and white people prayerfully waited there for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. Dozens of canes, braces, crutches, and blackened smoking pipes leaned against the barn-like walls. Many times, waves of glory would come over the tarrying room or meeting room, and people would cry out prayers of thanks or praise as they received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Meetings used to go past midnight and into the early hours of the morning. Hours there seemed like minutes. Sometimes, after a wave of glory, a lot of people would speak in tongues. Then a holy quietness would come over the place, followed by a chorus of prayer in languages we had never heard before. Many were slain in the Spirit, buckling to the floor, unconscious in a beautiful Holy Spirit cloud, and the Lord gave them visions. How I enjoyed shouting and praising God. During the tarrying, we used to break out in songs about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, fill me now, joy unspeakable, and love lifted me. Praise about the cleansing and precious blood of Jesus would just spring from our mouths. In between choruses, heavenly music would fill the hall and we would break into tears. Suddenly the crowd seemed to forget how to sing in English. Out of their mouths would come new languages and lovely harmony that no human beings could have learned. On the ground floor where services never seemed to end, the metal mailboxes, the Azusa Street Mission's collection plates, were always filled with coins and paper money. Never did Charles Seymour or any other preacher behind the shoebox pulpit ask for money. They had faith. All preachers had to do was preach. Anybody who had been blessed by the service gave generously. Hardly ever did the Azusa Street Mission advertise in newspapers about its services. People heard about them through word of mouth. In the same way that my mother and I felt a strong pull toward the mission, so did others. Many who came said that they knew nothing about Azusa Street and the Holy Spirit meetings until they had visions of the mission and were instructed to go there. Others were moved by an invisible force to attend. Some who attended Azusa Street at the start had little understanding of what was happening and feared the unknown. They had not even been taught by their pastors about being born again. Many had read in their Bibles in John 3:3 what Jesus had told Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." But they had not given it much thought. Most had not learned about being baptized in the Holy Ghost and the gift or gifts that come with this experience. Old line churches frowned on the Azusa Street Mission's Bible teaching, so-called miracles, and noisy meetings. Their members who came just once to Azusa Street services and were found out were often asked to leave their congregations. Some churches tried hard to get the city of Los Angeles to close down the Azusa Street Mission, but they failed. Individuals, too, worked to break up meetings. 50 years later, while at the Golden Jubilee meeting of original Azusa Street members at Angelus Temple in Los Angeles, I heard a dramatic story about such an effort from two would-be saboteurs. When they were three blocks from the mission, their jaws locked so they couldn't talk over their plan of action. They became panicky because now they were sure that a supernatural power had done this to them. Try as they might to turn back, some force kept them walking straight to the mission, where they tiptoed inside to a bench and sat down. Waves of glory swept over the place, and these men who knew nothing about being born again felt drawn to talk to Jesus. In their mute reverence, God began to speak to their hearts, and they longed to cry out, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." But then God opened their mouths, and they began praising and glorifying him for the wonderful thing he had done. They invited Jesus into their hearts, were converted, and filled with the Holy Spirit. That night, the men who had planned to wreck the meeting left the mission in joy such as they had never before known. Not only did people try to break up meetings, they sometimes tried to beat up individuals who left their churches for the Azusa Street Mission. I remember well what happened to my dear friend Owen Irish Lee, a Catholic who had been a bartender and street fighter in Ireland and New York City. He had lived by the Old Testament's an eye for an eye before being born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. Once, he had knocked out a Santa Monica police chief who had tried to arrest him, and on another occasion, had battered four Los Angeles policemen who had mistreated a drunken man. After becoming a lay preacher, he even surprised himself and others with his actions when persecuted. Once, a Catholic woman and her accomplice, a giant of a man, angry that Irish Lee had left the Catholic Church, brought a stout rope to Azusa Street to hang Irish from a lamppost. The giant spat in Irish's face and then punched him in the cheekbone. Instead of hitting back, Irish turned the other cheek. Now even more angry, the man swung a punch at Irish's other cheek. Before it struck, the fist stopped as if it had hit a brick wall. An invisible force jolted the man, sprawling him into the gutter. Irish never forgot the amazed expression on the faces of the two. At home, he prayed on his knees for them and was delighted when, a few nights later, they came to the Azusa Street Mission and were saved. None of us old-timers will ever forget Irish Lee. At our meetings, the Holy Spirit power often built up in him so that he could no longer stand it, and then he would boom a hallelujah that rattled the windows. No one looked around to see who it was. No one had to. Like many others from foreign nations, Irish Lee, after his baptism in the Holy Spirit, returned to his native land to spread the word about salvation and baptism in the Holy Spirit.
I hope that blessed you. I never, there's all kinds of stories in here about things that happened at Azusa Street. We're not trying to go back to Azusa Street, but we know if God could do it there, he'll do it here. and even more so. So let's continue to believe. Continue to believe. I just, those of y'all that had the eyesight issue, stand up, please. There was four of you. I guess some, or were you? Okay, praise God. Somebody might be in class or something. Just extend your hands towards them. Let's just seal. Well, you can open your hands if you want, whatever you want to do. Let's just seal this and believe for this miracle to be manifest, even today, even now. In Jesus' name, God, Lord, we just agree. We agree with all the prayers that went up. We agree, God, that you want their eyesight restored. And so, God, baptize them in your love. Baptize them in your oil of anointing, God. Baptize their eyes with new life, God. In Jesus' name, God, do it now that you be glorified, God. We curse that sugar diabetes too, God, in Jesus' name. We curse that cancer in Jesus' name, God. We thank you nothing is too great for you. Heal my brother's eyes in Jesus' name. I don't know if you're standing up the first time, but in Jesus' name, heal those eyes and make them whole in Jesus' name. And I want new eyes too, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Y'all be sure to let me know when that happens. You can't tell till nighttime, can you? Turn the lights off, please. Don't. Do what? Yeah, that'd be all right. We got a door you can drive me in. I don't know if we want to do that or not. Proverbs 3. I'm going to be short. I know I really am blessed that y'all came out today. I know it's a busy, busy, busy weekend, and I hope you have a really good time with your family. Is Samuel still out of town? Is Jenny out? They didn't make it home. They were coming home yesterday, but something happened. Uh-oh. We'll miss them. We'll miss them. Did I tell you Proverbs 3? That's what I meant. Y'all read Proverbs much? A lot of wisdom in there. But I was reading Proverbs 3, 1 through 10. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, you've given us a pattern. You've given us a light, God, that shines out in the darkness, God. We don't have to be blind. We don't have to stumble around, God. We can know the way that you would have us to go, Lord. And I just pray for us, all of us, Jesus, that, God, we're going down the path. I believe everybody here is going down that straight and narrow path. That's where they want to go. We know what the end is. It's glory. It's heaven, but God, not only that, God, you want your kingdom to come through our lives here on earth, God. So Jesus, let us be a living example. Let us be a living book, God, in Jesus' name. And God, when we're on that path, and God, when we start to veer off, and we will sometimes, God, but we will, we proclaim, just say, Jesus, if I start to stray, if I start to leave that path, I choose to hear that voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk in it. And if you'll just listen and obey, man, that'll quench the enemy's plans so quick. It'll just stop it right in its tracks, won't it? Verse 1, my son, do not forget my laws, but let your heart keep my commands. What would you say that is? A suggestion, a command, what is that? Is that a command from God? Is it? No trick question, right? So that's a command from God. Verse 2 is a promise from God. If you don't forget my laws, if you keep my commands, length of days and long life and peace I will add to you. So, if you follow the precepts of the Lord, You will have long days and long life, and peace will be added to you. Command, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. And the promise is, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Command, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And if you do these things, I added that, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Go to Proverbs 24. How many of y'all have tasted the Lord and seen that He is good? Hi, like you mean it. Yeah. You taste the Lord and see that He is good. How many of y'all have read the Word of God, eaten the Word of God, and know that it's good? Praise God. And you have He has proved Himself over and over and over. How many of y'all would say the Lord has proved Himself through His Word? Can you give me an example? Because I don't want just some vague, yeah, I trusted in the Lord, I trusted in His Word, and it was good, but I really couldn't give you. Has anybody got an example, just a brief example, where God, you tried God at His Word?
No more profanity.
Oh, you gave that up, praise God.
Yes, sir.
Yes, does it make you feel better or worse?
Yes, sir.
Yes, praise God.
Amen.
I would have never guessed that out of you, man.
No.
Come on, God's Word has been proven in your heart, in your life. Y'all had your hands all up a minute ago. I'll get right back with you.
For me, it was, He says, as long as you delight in me, I give you the desires of my heart. And ever since then, you know, I just trusted in the Lord and allowed Him to lead my footsteps and just followed after Him and His direction and His guidance and been obedient, staying away from old people, places, and things. He set me free from that. He set me free from drugs and alcohol and cursing. And He has just blessed me tremendously, giving me all the desires of my heart each day. As long as I continuously just obey and listen to Him, He just keeps doing what He says He's going to do.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Did you used to curse?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. I look at you beautiful saints now, and I'm like, oh, that's hard to wrap my head around. Your pastor used to be the chief of foul language.
Whenever I decided to retire, there were some circumstances that were unfavorable towards me. And God gave me Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 20. And just as vivid, I didn't hear an audible voice, but it was as vivid in my heart as could be to take my place, take my position where I worked, and do the right thing, and that I wouldn't have to fight the battle, He would, and He did.
Praise the
He
Lord.
Did.
And she works in the school system. Is there anything you can...
Well, I was just told not to talk so much about religious stuff, and I just found that the days after that, I was told I had a coworker that we would share a lot about our faith, and I was just told not to talk so much about religious stuff. If she come into my office, just answer whatever question she had and send her back to her office. And so the more I thought about that, and then I told the superintendent, I said, I didn't realize that was a problem. I said, my faith is strong. And I said, as much as God's brought me through, I don't want to talk less about Him. I want to talk more. And she said, I had to watch whoever come in the front door just to watch what I say when someone come into our office, and that I could go to this other coworker's room to chat. And all I could think of was, Don't hide your light under a bushel.
Amen.
If you deny me before man,
Amen.
I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. And you were created to praise me. And I found in the few days after that, that every time somebody, if I was talking to somebody and I said, praise the Lord, I would catch myself looking to see who was out front. And I didn't like that. And I didn't want to be in an environment like that. So I submitted my notice of retirement. And it could have been very unfavorable. You know, it could have been not nice at all. But I went to the board meeting. I wrote the board members a letter. And I went to the board meeting because God gave me that word. And he said, fast and pray. And on the third day, which was the board meeting night, take your position and stand. And I did. I went to the board meeting, and the superintendent asked me to stand. And she praised me for my 34 years of work. And I did the best I could until the end of that fiscal year. And God had told me in his word, he said, take your position and stand, and you won't have to fight this fight. I'll fight it for you.
Praise God.
And he did.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Y'all can just finish up what I had to say.
This month will be 14 years sober.
Wow.
14 years is a long time. So that's
yeah,
a,
it is.
That's,
you was a little wild one, wasn't you?
No, just a little.
He was in our youth group, and I thought, whoa, what have I built here? I thought I was pouring in. Yeah, so praise God, he came back, though.
Yeah, July will be 14 years, so that's sober of coke, meth, weed.
You even made it, cooked it, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. We have a chemist here in our presence, delivered and saved.
Oh, yeah.
We're proud of you, brother. We really are. We're proud of you, man. I'm proud of all of y'all. Man, don't have to get in real deep to have a testimony. You're better off if you don't get in at all. Anybody else got something they want to share that God's word is? I'll get back up here in a minute.
Malachi 3 says to bring your tithes into the storehouse, and God says, test me on this. And so we do, and we're not, you know, overflowing with money or anything, but God provides for us and we're taken care of.
Praise the Lord.
When I was in the military, I was a whole different person. So,
no.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the people I worked for, I wasn't probably pretty nice, and we need to get stuff done, and I did it, and I didn't really rely on God, so I'm not that person anymore. So
praise God.
And our kids moved back here, and for God to do that, that's awesome. And it's a good safe place that they could come to. So God worked all that out, and praise Him, and thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Did you have something?
This past week, someone called me and chewed me out and told me all kinds of things that...
That's a praise.
Yeah. So when I hung up, you know, Satan kept repeating those things to me, and I was starting to believe him, and I heard God say, stop it, you're a child of mine, and went on and started
saying. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. She
had one, too. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Whenever there's a chance to give a testimony... Even if it's just breathing for this moment, I want to thank him and praise his holy name.
Praise the Lord. Did you have your hand up, Amy? I thought you did. I couldn't tell. It was kind of...
I know.
That one scripture, it says, quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. And human anger does not produce the righteousness of God. That scripture came into play this year during homeschool.
Imagine.
Every time I start to lose my temper, I feel that coming on, that, you know, human anger does not produce the righteousness of God. I'm not going to produce the righteousness of God in my kids or in this whole situation with getting angry. So it helps me to, like, really, I mean, it just one day it popped out on the Bible. I was like, ugh. So... I always got the quick to listen, slow to speak. I worked on that, but that human
wrath.
yeah, it does not produce the righteousness of God. It just really stuck out, and it's helped me out. So,
praise God.
Yeah.
You don't ever do nothing to stir her up, do you?
No.
Come on.
Well, most of you all know about Jamie's job, but some of the details about it, because he took a huge leap of faith last year to quit his job at FedEx to have a temporary seasonal job as a driver at UPS. And so, I mean, we did a lot of praying about it, and God gave us lots of scriptures, but one in particular was that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And there was a point, because he'd had a lot of people say, well, you're going to be able to get a job on full-time, and all these other people were like, that's impossible. You're not going to get on full-time driving just for one season. And I mean, it was just a total leap of faith. And the end of the seasonal job, they said, we've got a job for you, but it may be a year. But you need to stay in the system, so you're going to work part-time as a loader. And, I mean, Jamie was going to be working part-time, making $200 a week to support our family. And so, I mean, we were just really praying, okay, God. And he had a job offer. He would have to quit UPS and go work for his uncle. But there was a dead-end job. And I mean, it was a struggle. I cried myself to sleep one night because I was in such turmoil. And so he heard from the Lord, and it was that lean not on your own understanding. How in the world are we going to support our family on $200 a week? And we said, okay, God, we're going to trust you. And the Friday night before he was supposed to start the package handling on Monday, they called and said, don't report to work on Monday. We're going to offer you a full-time job as a driver.
Can't happen. That's impossible. That is impossible.
It was so the Lord.
Wow.
It was so the Lord.
Yes.
Can I add on to that?
Yes, please.
Because, I mean, to your situation, I mean, I've seen drivers come and go during peak season that you deserve a job here. And management thinks they deserve a job there. And I don't see them ever again. I mean, you definitely had the Lord's favor on that.
Praise the Lord. And you know, because you've been working for him for...
2001.
It's an honor to have Michael here, too. He's, you know, he took Charity as his bride, and awesome. He's a good man. I can tell he's a man of God. I don't think Charity would have had it any other way, would you? Yeah. It's good to have y'all. Praise God. What about youth group? You got anything? Oh, what have I been doing? You got anything? Got praise? Never mind. It's okay.
I mean, like, I got...
Oh, here's one.
I got to talk to my coworkers a little bit about what I believe. So.
And where do you, what kind of work do you do?
I'm a mechanic.
A mechanic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you work on big trucks, right?
Yeah, work on trucks.
So everybody around there is real fluffy and gentle and...
Well, if you got to know them. They look
scared. No, but I mean, that takes a pretty good step of faith, you know? Praise God.
I come to find out that one of my coworkers actually was a youth pastor at one point in time. I would have never been able to tell now.
A youth pastor turned a mechanic. Wow.
Because he was like, he worked all kinds of like masonry jobs and architectural jobs, stuff like that. But like, I would have never been able to tell until I got to talk to him. I was like, hey, yeah. So, and then he's quoting all kinds of Bible scriptures to me. I'm like, what happened?
What happened? That was a good word.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Dwayne.
Pray for him. Let's agree and pray for Dwayne right now to get back where he belongs.
Father God, I plead the blood over Dwayne right now and over his mind. And Lord, I love his family to death. His daughter is a great believer in you, O God. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just bring him back to you. I know he still believes, and I know that he still has a heart for you, but like, there's just part of him that just wants to stray away. And please, Lord, I pray, Lord, you'll just wrap your arms around him and bring him back to you, O God.
Jesus.
And bring the rest of his family with him, O Lord.
What about
in your name I pray, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Didn't leave nobody out, did I? Yes. Praise God.
Try to do this without getting emotional. Most of y'all know I'm going through a battle right now with not losing my foot or my leg. This situation has brought me closer to God. And the scripture in 1 Thessalonians says to give all things in all things. I finally understand it because I've gotten more thankful. and I've got most peace I think I've ever had in my whole Christian walk. So regardless how this turns out, I believe it's all going to be good. It is well. And I know that word says when you let go, because I had a lot of unforgiveness and a lot of anger and stuff, I don't have any of that anymore.
Praise God.
I mean, I am really freer than I ever think I've ever been. You don't need to understand. I just told God I trust you. Though you slay me, I'm going to serve you, because I feel like Peter, there ain't nowhere else to go. There ain't no life in anything else. So be encouraged, folks. Whatever you're going through, do not give up, because the word says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And I believe that with Amen. All of my heart. And that's all I got to say. Thanks.
Praise the Lord. Y'all be sure to go lay hands. We're going to have prayer here in just a minute. I just got 2 minutes, maybe 20, maybe. Hey, it's raining, and you know what? It's raining, and if you go to lunch now, it'd just be crowded. If you wait a few minutes, there won't be nobody there, man. All the churches will be gone, except for a few. We've had a special guest speaker today. We've had communion. We've had awesome worship. Praise the Lord. Testimonies. I'm encouraged. Aren't y'all encouraged? When you hear something like these testimonies, it's, yes, you got another one. No, that's okay. No.
I guess it's more like a prayer request, really, that since it's raining so hard, hopefully I won't have to, that my car will just start and I can pray for it. Get my car to start.
Sure, pray for it.
Please, Father God, I pray that you'll put your divine jumper cables on that car, oh God, and you'll be able to jump my car, and it'll start, and I can get my battery fixed on it later, God, and that we won't have to get anyone else wet, and then I'll just be able to start my car and drive home, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. That's not a, no, I like that, because I was going to get wet. Praise the Lord. You know, it's funny you said your car might need a jump start. I thought that's what church ought to be about. Sometimes you need a jump start. Sometimes you're like, they don't do that anymore. But when I was a, now they're just like, there's nothing. But back, you could sometimes, you could tell by the sound of it what it was going. And I prayed them to start before. Now they're just like, either they work or they don't work, right? Stinking digital technology. Bring them back points and, yeah. No, don't, please. Proverbs 24:30. I want plenty of time to pray. Please don't leave here without, Proverbs 24, verse 30. Don't leave here without getting prayer, okay? That's why I'm going to make this really brief. You could spend a whole lot of time on this, but we don't need to. This is Solomon writing down something he had observed. Have you ever observed something in the natural, and God started showing you a spiritual side of it? You know, a lot of the things that happen in the world, a lot of things that happen, you'll see on the news and you'll go, wow. And then you'll go, wow, I think God's trying to move something in the spirit. And you'll almost always notice things in the natural start moving around when God's presence. And so Proverbs 24:30, this is him. He's walking. He's observing something, right? He said, I went by the field of the lazy man. What's lazy man? It means slothful. It means sluggish. It was a spirit that ruled the earth in Noah's day, right? Because this guy's out there beating his brains out. His whole family's building an ark. And by the way, I heard the ark opens July. The ark. The one in Florence, Kentucky, July 7th. I think that's kind of a sign and a wonder, don't you?
You know, it's in the Bible. 7:7 is Noah's, is Noah. Genesis 7:7 is Noah.
No kidding.
Yes.
I didn't realize that. Genesis said Genesis 7:7 is Noah, so it's opening 7:7. They might have thought about that, you know. This guy's pretty sharp. Ken Ham, I mean, this guy's brilliant. Whether you agree with him or not, it's like, wow, where did that come from?
And Noah went in, and his sons and his son's wife with him, and into the ark because of the waters of the flood.
Amen.
7-7.
And in Noah's day, he'd been preaching for 120 years, and nobody listened. People were slothful. They were doing their own thing. They said they were marrying and giving in marriage. They were eating and drinking and partying. They were doing all the things they'd always done. And until the day the ark was sealed up, everything continued on as it was. But it said, I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. So a vineyard, have you ever seen a, vineyards are usually like spotless, aren't they? Yeah. If you ever, you look at them and think, how could, because I look at my garden and it's early in the year, I'm going, look at these weeds, man, and they're starting to try to, have you ever had a problem with weeds? But you look at a vineyard, it's like, whoa, man, these straight rows and they're pruned and they're bringing forth these big, what do you call them? Things of grapes,
clusters,
that sounds good. They're bringing forth these great clusters of grapes, and it's just beautiful. They're well kept, and there was a wine press, and there was a place where they made Boone's Farm wine, and they did all this stuff. Out in California, you can see a lot of them. Now in Indiana and Kentucky, you can. There's vineyards everywhere now, man. People's making their little, I think there's one right over here in the Knobs, isn't there? Huber's, don't they have a winery? So, I went by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. What would that mean? Lacking. No understanding whatsoever. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. What's a thorn? It's a plant that you don't want growing in your garden. It's a plant you don't want growing in your fields, right? You don't want thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. You know what a nettle is? They're itchy, and they're like, they got spines and spikes in them, and they'll irritate. Oh, they're horrible. If you ever get into any, they're down by the river lots of times, and they'll just burn and itch. I mean, it's painful. So nettles, and it says its stone wall was broken down. So there was a wall around his vineyard to protect it. And he said, when I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it, and I received instruction. Now, that's a difference. We see things in the natural all the time, and we just kind of like, But if we consider, and we pray, and we get God's wisdom out of things, we can learn from things that you would think, well, how could you learn a lesson from this? Solomon was the wisest man that ever walked. He got a lesson, I think, from everything he looked at. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it, and I received instruction. And here was the instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so will poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. So in the natural, Jamie could have just went, well, you know what? I'm just going to hang out around the house till I get a phone call, which he was operating in faith, wasn't he? But he was still doing things to the best he could to support his family, right? Is that biblical? Yeah. Isn't it? So he was not slothful. He was trusting in the Lord with all of his heart. He was leaning not to his own understanding, but in all his ways he was acknowledging the Lord. And God will direct your pass. Praise the Lord. So God gives you a path in the wilderness. I've seen Christians. How many of y'all have ever seen a believer shipwrecked? Hold your hands up. Have you seen somebody that has fallen away from God? Weren't they a lot happier when they were heathens? No, seriously. Is there anything more depressing than to be around somebody that used to be on fire for God and now they're lukewarm, whatever you want to put on it. So this is, you know, spiritually, this guy, spiritually, there was a person, and they had a great vineyard. They fellowshiped with the Lord. There was not weeds in their life. There was not sin in their life. I'm not saying you can be sinless, but I'm saying when you see it, you want to pull it out because you want your vineyard to be beautiful and straight and pruned, right? The Lord says He prunes you. He prunes those He loves. So He keeps a good, clean, beautiful vineyard, doesn't He? Was that in Song of Solomon? It talks about the vineyard of the Lord, my love. And yeah, so there's a lot about vineyards in the Bible because it was so important to make wine. It was so important to their economy, their life. So you've seen Christians that have fallen away. God wants to restore. God wants to prune out the thorns and the nettles. He wants to set your feet on fire. He wants to set your hands on fire. He wants to set your life on fire. He wants to burn off the dross. And all you got to do is say yes. All you got to do is say yes. Amen? And all you got to do is just speak the word of God like you did, young lady. You speak the word of God and you're not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed to let you know. Dun, 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 dun. I'm not ashamed to speak the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, sing the background vocals there, Charity. Someone says it's a lost cause. Save your testimonies for church time. Another one states, help me. Tell you've done a little market research. I'm saying, no way I could put that on. The newsboys. No, the real newsboys. Not the fake newsboys. The real newsboys from Australia. Never mind. I'm sorry. I got way off. We need to pray. But poverty will come. And your need will come like an armed man, the Bible says. Spiritual poverty will come. And you know what usually brings that? Usually a disappointment or an offense. Somebody offended you. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of people. They're in the bed this morning because they were offended by a church. They were offended by a preacher. They were offended by something. And, you know, the offense brings betrayal eventually. So we got to guard our hearts, don't we? Say, guard my heart, Jesus, because it is prone to be hurt. It is prone to pull away from you, God, in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Let's stand up and pray. And then I want anybody that needs prayer. Tomorrow is what? The 4th? I should have had a 4th of July message. Tomorrow is the 4th of July, which is declared as Independence Day. It don't look too independent right now sometimes, does it? But you know, I thought tomorrow we need to declare, I am independent from this world system. Yes. Tomorrow is Dependence Day. Dependence on Jesus. Dependence on the hand of God, right? The man will let you down every time. The system will break every time. It just isn't designed to meet your needs. But God is big enough. No matter what happens to this world system, He wants you to walk in freedom, doesn't He? It is for freedom He set us free. So before we pray, I want to bless you. And if you need prayer, I want God to bless you. Did you notice that blessing that Dick Rubin gave? He spoke it in Hebrew, and then he's a big Jewish man. They call him a big ugly Jew at Brownsville. That's what they call him. That's what they call him, a big ugly Jew. His shoulders are about. But I want to teach you that song of that scripture. There's a song of that scripture that trust in the Lord. Who used that? Was it Kristen? There used to be a rock group in the 60s, 70s called America. Y'all probably never even heard of that. You have, right? Right? But the lead singer His name was Dan Peek, and he got saved, and he did a couple of Christian albums. Pretty good, too, but I remember he did a song about that. Y'all sing along after the second time in, okay? This will teach you some scripture. You'll know scripture once you learn this little song, okay? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. Now this time, everybody loud. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. Lord Jesus, bless these saints. Hold your hands out like this. I want the blessings of God. I want the blessings of God on my home. I want the blessings of God where I work every day. I want the blessings of God over my house. I want the blessings of God over my community, my church, God. I want the blessings of God over this corridor, this Highway 150 corridor. God, I want the blessings of God over this nation, over this world, God. I want your blessings to flow, God, like living water. Lord, bless these saints. Bless them going out. Bless them coming in, Jesus. Bless them with prosperity so they can bless the kingdom of God, Lord. Bless them with pleasant personalities, God. Bless them with divine open doors of opportunity. God ordains encounters, God, in the name of Jesus. Let not one day go by, God, as they go out to eat. I thank you for, listen, claim this. As you go out to eat today, I proclaim a word of knowledge. You will receive a word of knowledge for your waitress. Believe it. Believe you're going to get that. And you know what? It'll blow their socks off. They go, how did you know that? Jesus? Jesus? God, just bless them, 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 Jesus. Come on up here, Mary, would you? Saints, women of God, I want five women of God to surround Mary right now and start praying, crying out for God. Come on, Nana. Come up here. Come on up here and just start crying out for God. Crying out for God's mercy and power and presence. If you have illness or sickness or you don't want it no more, come on up here and let's pray and engage God in freedom right now in Jesus' name. Prayer. You need prayer. Praise the Lord.